Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, April 21st, 2022, 1 John.
All right, first things first, happy birthday to Amanda. Her birthday is this Saturday. And I tell you, the guy who put this up, your happy birthday, I think he likes you. So happy birthday, Amanda. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. We have exegeted verses 1 and 2. We are looking at some fantastic doctrines on the resurrection body and hope. And in our context, the hope is hope 3. There are three hopes in the Word of God. Hope 1, the hope of eternal salvation. Hope 2, the hope of greater grace, blessing, and time. Hope 3, the hope for greater grace, blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. And in our passage, we have hope 3. The spiritually mature believer has this confident expectation that following the resurrection, the rapture, at the judgment seat of Christ, he has waiting for him crowns and rewards. There's the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star, these fantastic crowns and rewards that glorify God forever and ever. Hopefully, all of you have in your soul that hope as well. When you have hope 3 in your soul, why, that is the greatest, most fantastic mental attitude you can ever have. Because you are occupied with Christ, you're looking forward to Christ coming back, you're looking forward to the rapture, you're looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, that eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, corrected translation, sound like this. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love the Father has given to us. What is that love? Virtue love. God is love. And God's love is virtue love, made up of impersonal love, which is directed to all, and personal love, which is conditional and directed to a few. In fact, God is love. And the word there for love is agape. That's A-G-A-P, long E. That is the Greek word for virtue love, agape. God is love in his very essence. But what is the love of God? It's not human love. A lot of people are so confused and try to force human love on God, and God does not have human love. God's love is virtue love. Agape is virtue love. And virtue love is made up of two parts. Impersonal love, which is unconditional. Now, God is love. He is impersonal love. Impersonal love is based on honor, virtue, integrity. What is God? Does God have honor, virtue, and integrity? God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is infinite honor, infinite virtue, infinite integrity. And therefore, that is the basis for all impersonal love. That's the basis for God's impersonal love. His infinite integrity, his infinite virtue and honor, which enables him to love the whole world, the whole human race, even though the human race is in spiritual death, totally depraved. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says the world is ungodly. Verse 8, they're sinners. Verse 10, they are the enemies of God. But God is infinite virtue, infinite integrity, infinite honor. And therefore, he can love the whole world, even when the world is in spiritual death and total depravity. So, God is virtue love. And that is true in every part of the plan of God. The first part of the plan of God, phase one of the plan of God. The plan of God for salvation. God is love. Impersonal love is unconditional. Impersonal love is for all. God's impersonal love is directed to the whole world, every member of the human race. And therefore, he designed Operation Grace, the cross. That's God the Father. God the Father has infinite impersonal love for all. Jesus Christ, God the Son, has infinite impersonal love for all. And that's why he went to the cross and took your sins and mine in his body, as well as the judgment for those sins. And God the Holy Spirit is impersonal love for all, for in common grace he reveals the good news of the gospel to all. So impersonal love for all, unconditional. Operation Grace, the cross. Personal love is conditional. It's directed to a few. The condition for personal love is this: you must believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you place your faith for those few who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, God imputes to you the gift of eternal life. He gives you the gift of eternal life. He imputes to you His righteousness. He gives you eternal salvation. So for those who fulfill the condition and believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal salvation. God's love, God is love. Agape, virtue love, impersonal love for all, in providing salvation for all. Everyone is savable. Potentially everyone could be saved because the sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged. Personal love is for the few who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Fulfill the condition. Yes, there is a condition for eternal salvation. Everyone doesn't go to heaven. There's a lot. The liberals all want to say, well, everybody's going to go to heaven. And even I've been around a lot of Christians, and they want to believe that everyone's going to wind up in heaven. And I'll ask them, when they say a loved one has died, I say, did they place their faith in Christ? Well, I'm sure they must have. They had to have. God couldn't possibly send them to the lake of fire. Well, if they didn't believe in Christ, He will. There's a lot of believers that, boy, when it gets down to, oh, well, no, I can't even imagine. I can't think. Well, I don't care what you can imagine or think. There is a condition. The condition is you must place your faith in Jesus Christ. That's personal love. Personal love is conditional. God's virtue love is made up of impersonal love to all, personal love to a few who fulfill the condition. That's phase one of the plan of God. Phase two of the plan of God is for the believer in time. For the believer in time, God demonstrates and manifests impersonal love to all believers by providing for them, well, what is established? A grace pipeline is established. And that is true for every single person who places their faith in Christ. And down that grace pipeline to all believers come 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that comes to all believers. The grace pipeline is given to all believers. All believers receive the 40 salvation blessing. All believers receive logistical grace, blessing, and support. Logistical grace, blessing, and support, whether you're a winner, a loser, whether you're a baby, adolescent, mature, whether you're living in the cosmic system, whether you're in warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline, you are receiving logistical grace to all. Impersonal love to all believers. And then personal love is directed to the few. The few who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. They fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life for why they're here. And God pours out on those few greater grace, blessing. Greater grace blessings, which are made up of temporal blessing, spiritual blessing, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. To the few who have accomplished the ultimate objective, have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, reach spiritual maturity. Phase three of the plan of God. That is the believer in eternity. Phase three of the plan of God, impersonal love, is directed to all believers. All believers will receive a resurrection body. no matter whether they were a total failure, no matter if they died the sin unto death, they still will be in heaven. They will have a resurrection body. They will live with God forever and ever and ever in heaven. So impersonal love for all, they will all have a resurrection body. They will all have eternal security. They will all live with God forever in heaven. And personal love is given to those few believers who seize and hold the high ground of spiritual maturity till death or the rapture, and God has waiting for them greater grace blessings for eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star. To the few, all believers won't receive those greater grace blessings. But the few, and I guarantee you, it's very few in the time in which we live in America today. Very, very few. But this is God. This is God's love. It's virtue love. Personal love is unconditional to all. Impersonal love is unconditional for all. Personal love is conditional for the few who fulfill the condition. Condition of phase one, faith in Jesus Christ. Condition of phase two, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Fulfill the condition of phase three, you have seized and hold the high ground of spiritual maturity until physical death or the rapture. And in that there is a critical part of that is suffering for blessing. In fact, oftentimes very intensified suffering for blessing that the winner believer receives at near the end of his time here on earth, which is the basis for fantastic rewards and crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. So God is love. Yes, He is. God is agape. God is virtue love. With impersonal love for all that is unconditional, personal love for a few who fulfill the condition of each phase of God's plan. Phase one, salvation. Phase two, believer in time. Phase three, believer in eternity. So we have, consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father, God the Father, has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. And therefore, the world, the people living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us. They don't understand the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Why? Well, because they did not understand Him, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. We are students under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when He appears, the rapture, we shall be like Him. That is, our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see Him just as He is. And we noted that since our resurrection body will be like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we study and look at the Scriptures, what His resurrection body is like, then we will know what our resurrection body will be like. And we noted the two major passages, Luke 24 and Luke 24, 15, Luke 24, 30 and 31, Luke 24, 33 to 36. They demonstrate that the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ had the ability to appear and to disappear. The resurrection body of our Lord was very mobile. It was not limited with respect to space. Throughout Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ is carrying on conversations in his resurrection body, and therefore the resurrection body has a system of vocal cords. In your resurrection body, you will be able to talk. If some of you couldn't talk, you wouldn't even want to be in heaven. You just got to talk. But you'll be able to talk. And one thing, when you talk in your resurrection body, it will be worth listening to. Not necessarily true today, but in your resurrection body, you'll be able to talk and to communicate. Luke 24, 39 and 40, the resurrection body can be seen and touched. Luke 24, 41 to 43, we see that the resurrection body has the ability to eat food. Luke 24, 51, we see that the resurrection body is capable of space travel. All of that was in Luke 24. And then in John chapter 20, verse 19 and verse 26, the resurrection body is not limited by matter. It can pass through walls and through doors. In John 20, verse 20 and verses 24 to 29, the Lord Jesus Christ was recognizable in his resurrection body. The disciples knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus retained in his body the memorials of his death. The resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ retained the scars in his hands and feet and the wound in his side. And from this we recognize a wonderful principle. God has an awesome way of creating uniqueness in his creatures. Each one of you, you're unique. And, after I've studied, I will look and just see people from a long ways out. I can tell by the way they stand. I can tell by the way they walk. You can tell it's me by the way I walk, because I don't walk. I stagger around and stumble and this and that. But I can, I love, like I told you last time, I watch golf. And as soon as the fella is hitting the ball, I will say who it is before they put the name up. And I'll have it right. Everything. There's something about every single person that makes that you, you. A part of your identity that makes you and you unique. And God does that with all of us in creating us. And therefore, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was recognized and known in his resurrection body by the disciples, so also we will be able to recognize and know one another in our resurrection body. We are not entering a lesser state when we receive a resurrection body. We are not stepping down when we step out of these physical bodies into our resurrection bodies. When we step from time to eternity, we are stepping out of the shadows into reality. Our limitations are going to be removed in our resurrection bodies. We're not going to be less knowledgeable or aware or complete than we are now in our physical bodies. You will recognize and know your children and friends and loved ones who have believed in Jesus Christ and are in their resurrection bodies in heaven. You know them now on earth, and therefore you will know them no less as well in heaven. The believer will retain a likeness of this physical body in his resurrection body, providing identity. The uniqueness about his person that he has in this life on earth, in his physical body, he will somehow have it in eternity in his resurrection body. Now, it is also very important to know that our resurrection state is going to be different. Many things will change. There are not going to be any wedding chapels or maternity hospitals in heaven. Turn over to Luke chapter 20. We didn't look at this passage last time. We'll look at it this evening. Turn over to Luke 20. And I'm glad this passage is in here. The last thing I would want is for God to put me in a wedding chapel doing that. One thing I wouldn't mind doing in heaven is doing memorial services, because there won't be any. There's no death in heaven. Luke chapter 20, verse 34. Jesus replied, and this is from the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will not marry. They will not marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die. There's no death in heaven. And they are like the angels. And they're like the angels in several ways. Angels don't marry. And there's no procreation among angels. And there's no procreation in heaven. So we're going to be like the angels from the standpoint, no marriage, not being given in marriage, not having wedding ceremonies, no procreation, none of that. We're going to be like the angels in that regard. There is no marriage, there is no procreation in heaven, but we will never step backward or downward. God is never going to remove one thing from us that is wonderful and magnificent and replace it with something that is less wonderful and magnificent. The divine institutions of marriage and the family are very wonderful institutions provided for us by our Lord. While we are physically alive in our physical bodies living on planet Earth, yet these wonderful divine institutions are only the shadows. They serve as divine illustrations or types of a marriage union and a family that is far, far more magnificent. Namely, the union of Christ and the church. And we saw that in the passage in Ephesians chapter 5. The union of Christ and the church. Jesus Christ is the groom. We are his bride. We are the body of Christ on earth. We will be the bride of Christ in heaven. So they serve as a type. A marriage union and a family that is far, far more magnificent, namely the union of Christ and the church, Ephesians 5, and the formation of the body of Christ, the royal family of God, Galatians 3, 26 to 28, which becomes the bride of Christ in heaven. Now that brings us to 1 John 3, verse 3. And hope. 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him. What have we been talking about? Resurrection, receiving our resurrection body. And our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. And every man that hath this hope in him. We have the conjunction chi plus the articular present active participle of echo, modified by the adjective pos. plus the accusative singular of elpis with a definite article, with the accusative singular demonstrative pronoun houtas, plus the prepositional phrase epi, plus the dative singular of autos. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, and it's correctly translated and. The verb echo E-C-H long O. The verb echo means to have and to hold, and therefore to possess. We have the articular participle. The articular participle is substantival, and that means it functions as a noun. So it should be translated the one who has. The one who has and holds. The present tense has linear action start, the one who keeps on having and holding. And it's modified by the adjective pos, which means every. So the corrected translation is, and everyone, that's pos, and everyone who keeps on having and holding. Now who is everyone? Everyone refers to the spiritually mature believer. Everyone who keeps on having and holding, the spiritually mature believer. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtas with the noun elpis. Houtas, H-O-U-T-O-S. That is this. And then elpis, E-L-P-I-S, elpis. This hope. All right, we need to get a couple of things on the word elpis, because it's what the Bible says with the word hope is different than what a lot of people think the word hope means. I know you've been around and you've given the gospel to people, and you may even start out with something like, if you were to die today, will you be in heaven? I've used that a few times. And a lot of times we'll get this answer, well, I hope so. Well, I said, that isn't very comforting. Because if you don't know absolutely, then you need to know the issue. And, well, I've done a lot of good things. I've done a lot of good works. You know, and I'm sure you have. And I'm sure you've also done a lot of crappy things and bad works too. But you're not going to speak about that when you're talking about, will you be in heaven? And then I give the gospel on, tell them what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross, that all of their sins were poured out on him and judged. And because he paid the penalty for your sins in full, he offers you a gift. It's not by your works. You can't work for it or earn it, deserve it. You receive it by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. You simply place your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, he will give you the gift of eternal life. He will impute to you with his righteousness. And you will live with him forever and ever in heaven. And it's guaranteed. Now, one, elpis generally means hope in the sense of anticipation, expectation, prospect. Elpis generally means hope in the sense of anticipation, expectation, prospect. Two, therefore, it means confident expectation. That's the best way to translate the Greek word elpis, hope. confident expectation. Your confidence is in God. Your confidence is in the Word of God. Confidence in God is a great virtue. Confidence in the Word of God is a great virtue. Confidence in man is idiocy. You don't put your confidence in man. You put your confidence in God and in the Word of God. This point three, the spiritually mature believer has this confidence about the future. This is hope three. Hopes, remember, I told you at the start, three hopes. Hope one, eternal salvation. Hope two, the hope of greater grace blessings in time. Hope three, the hope of greater grace blessings for all eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The spiritually mature believer has this confidence about the future. Hope three. Four, the spiritually mature believer keeps on having this confidence. Confidence in God. Confidence about the rapture. He knows about the rapture. He's looking forward. Looking forward to the rapture. Looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ. He has confidence about the resurrection body, and he's looking forward to that resurrection body that will be similar to the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five, the spiritually mature believer keeps on having this confidence of greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. The spiritually mature believer keeps on having this confidence of greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the preposition epi plus the dative of the intensive pronoun autos uses the third person personal pronoun. So we have epi plus autos. And this is correctly translated. That's E-P-I-A-U-T-O-S. In Him, Jesus Christ. Now, autos, there's a lot of difference between classical Greek and Koine Greek. In classical Greek, autos is always an intensive pronoun. That's the only way it's used. It's not used any other way than an intensive pronoun. A few times it's used that way in the Bible. The Bible is written in Koine Greek in the New Testament. A few times it's used like classical Greek. But most of the time, autos is used for the third person personal pronoun, and that's how it's used here, and it should be in Him, and Him is the Lord Jesus Christ. Corrected translation, and everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, this confident expectation of hope three, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, it says, and everyone, spiritually mature believer, who keeps on having and holding this hope, this confident expectation of hope three, in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. One, there are three hopes in the Bible. Three hopes in the Bible. The first hope is eternal life. The second hope is blessings in time. The third hope is eternal reward given at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's our verse, 1 John 3:3. So three hopes in the Bible. First hope, eternal life. Second hope, blessings in time. Third hope, eternal reward given at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 3, verse 3. Point two is hope one. Hope one is knowing that by believing in Christ, fulfilling the condition for eternal salvation, there's only one condition: faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Hope one is knowing that by believing in Christ, you have eternal life. God gives you the gift of eternal life. You're imputed with the righteousness of God. You have eternal salvation. When a person expresses positive volition at God consciousness, God provides the good news of the gospel to that person wherever he is, anywhere on planet Earth. Anyone who goes positive at God consciousness, God gets him the gospel. Gospel hearing converts the potential into the hope of salvation. And that hope is knowing that when you believe in Christ, fulfill the condition, you have eternal life. Turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, Titus 1 verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith, the body of faith, Bible doctrine, of God's elect, and the knowledge, this is the epinosis knowledge of the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God that leads to godliness. The word godliness is elsebei in the Greek. Your spiritual life. Living the spiritual life that God has given you. The unique spiritual life of the church age. So, the apostle of Jesus Christ, for the body of faith of God's elect, the epinosis knowledge of the absolute truth of the Word of God that leads you to living the spiritual life, godliness, elsebei, of faith and knowledge resting on the hope one of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Turn over to Titus 3. Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior, virtue love of God our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of self-righteous works that we had done, but because of his mercy, grace in action. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. This is the universal indwelling of the Spirit, unique to the church age. Universal indwelling of the Spirit, generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, justification by faith in Jesus Christ, we might become heirs, having the confidence of eternal life. Hope one. So this is hope one. Hope one is knowing that by believing in Christ, you have eternal life. Point three is hope two. Hope two is absolute confidence that when you reach spiritual maturity, you will receive your greater grace blessing for time. Hope two is absolute confidence that when you reach spiritual maturity, you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you've reached spiritual maturity, that you will receive your greater grace blessing for time. That's confident expectation. The believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills has this confident expectation. He has it that he not only has the confident expectation of receiving these greater grace blessings for time, he receives them and enjoys them, capacity for life and love and happiness and adversity, and he thoroughly enjoys those blessings. Turn over to Galatians 5:5. Galatians 5:5, for we, through the Spirit, by the agency of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the first spiritual skill of the spiritual life, and the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, the second spiritual skill of the spiritual life, that enables you to advance to maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and attain grace, righteousness. For we, through the Spirit, by the agency of the Spirit, by faith, the body of faith, metabolized doctrine in our heart, are waiting, confident expectation for the hope of grace righteousness, hope to greater grace blessings in time. Hope too is based on the imputation of divine righteousness, establishing the grace pipeline. You come to the cross, place your faith in Jesus Christ, and instantly the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, establishing this phenomenal grace pipeline. Down that grace pipeline comes 40 salvation blessings to all believers, logistical grace blessing to all believers, but to those few who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, God sends down greater grace blessings to imputed righteousness. Subpoint 1. When God's righteousness was imputed to us, this became a standing order. A standing order for us to advance to spiritual maturity. When God's righteousness was imputed to us, this became a standing order for us to advance to spiritual maturity. Two. Hope, too, is that confident expectation, motivation to press on to those greater grace blessings waiting for you since eternity past, so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. Hope, too, is confident expectation, motivation to press on to those greater grace blessings waiting for you since eternity past, so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. Turn over to James 4. James 4. James 4:6. Verse 6, but he gives us greater grace. Greater grace blessing to the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He gives us greater grace. That is why the scripture says God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And therefore submit yourselves then to God. Have humility, genuine humility, respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God. Come near to God is positive volition, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. You're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're coming near to God, and He will come near to you, the pouring out of hope to greater grace blessings in time. You come near to God, positive volition, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and He will come near to you, pouring out greater grace blessings in time. Turn over to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. First Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, you see, what's the target for Bible doctrine? The target for Bible doctrine is the heart, the cardia. Every time you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and you hear the teaching of truth, you metabolize it, you believe it, it goes into your heart. And as it goes into your heart, why, virtue, love, it comes to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. This is occupation with Jesus Christ. This is the spiritually mature believer who has had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope. Hope too that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Three. So again, hope too is confident expectation, motivation to press on to those greater grace blessings waiting for you since eternity past so that Christ can be glorified. Point three. Greater grace blessings in time include spiritual blessings. Great, great spiritual blessings. Temporal blessings, blessing by association, historical impact as an invisible hero, historical impact in your neighborhood, historical impact in your city, in your state, in your nation, in the world, and suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing, where you were. There's so much in the New Testament scriptures about suffering for blessing that the winner believer has, because he's qualified to receive these fantastic suffering for blessing. Paul did. It's called the thorn in the flesh. Three times he prayed that God would take it away, and three times God said no, no, no. And then God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take the thorn in the flesh away. You have everything you need. My grace is sufficient for you. What is God's grace? God's problem-solving devices. Paul got it. He never, ever asked for God to take the thorn in the flesh away again. Never. Instead, he says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. The winner believer knows that. The winner believer knows that when he's weak, all different kinds of suffering for blessing, that's when I'm strong. He is depending totally on the grace and power of God. And then, point four, hope three. Hope three is absolute confidence that at the judgment seat of Christ, you will receive your greater grace blessings for eternity. Hope three is absolute confidence that at the judgment seat of Christ, you will receive your greater grace blessing for eternity. This is our passage, 1 John 3:3. That's what it's talking about, hope 3. Hope 3 is absolute confidence of receiving blessing and reward at the judgment seat of Christ, because you already have the reality of the blessings of hope 2, plus the necessary doctrine for hope 3. Subpoint 1. Hope 3 is always related to suffering for blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing. So that you are always blessed in undeserved suffering. Subpoint 2. Hope 3 is the greatest and most dynamic thinking that can exist in the soul of the believer. It's the greatest and most dynamic thinking that can exist in the soul of the believer. We saw this with Moses the other night in Bible class. Well, tonight we're going to look, see it in Abraham. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, this is the body of faith, by maximum metabolized doctrine in Abraham's heart, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city, looking forward to greater grace blessing for all eternity. Hope 3, looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. The believer who dies or is cut off by the rapture the believer is cut off by the rapture before he reaches spiritual maturity, not to worry. Let's say the rapture happens tonight. We'll let you finish Bible class. I'm not in charge of it, but let's say it happened tonight after Bible class, and you haven't reached spiritual maturity. You don't have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. But dadgummit, the dadgum rapture interrupted. You were going to make it. You know you were going to make it. Well, God knows you're going to make it too. So don't worry about it. God knows whether you would have attained spiritual maturity or not. He knows the decisions you would have made so you can relax. The believer who is cut off by the rapture before attaining spiritual maturity will still receive eternal blessing because the omniscience of God knows what would have happened had the rapture not taken place. No one ever loses blessing with the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. Why? What is that? Infinite virtue. Infinite integrity. Infinite honor. Infinitely fair. That's what backs up God's impersonal love. 3. Resurrection is part of the confident. Resurrection is part of the confident anticipation of hope 3, since blessing is imputed to the resurrection body. Acts 23, verse 6. Resurrection is part of the confident anticipation of hope 3, since blessing is imputed to the resurrection body. Acts 23:6. 4, hope 3 is the source of great happiness to the spiritually mature believer, since it makes eternity a reality. Hope 3 is the source of great happiness to the spiritually mature believer, since it makes eternity a reality. It's eternity is a real reality in your soul. Turn over to Romans 12. Romans 12. We'll end with this. I was hoping to get a little farther, but farther. Now, I was an English major. Debbie was an English major. That's good in one way. We have rapport that way. But it's bad when I go home and then she corrects my English when I get home. And then I say, honey, you are so blessed to have a husband that loves you with impersonal love. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love, virtue love, be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, virtue love, impersonal love for all. Give preference to one another in honor. That's what impersonal love is. It emphasizes the virtue, the honor, the integrity of the one doing the loving. It's impersonal love to all. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, that is, living the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Hope three. Persevering in tribulation, spending much time in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. Well, there's more with Hope 3. We will pick it up this time next week. Hope 3. And I expect all of you to have these fantastic, well, first of all, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, attain spiritual maturity, grace, righteousness, not only receiving your greater grace blessing for time, but looking forward. Confident expectation, anticipation of seeing Jesus Christ in your resurrection body at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be there. You won't be ashamed. You'll be there excited to receive these crowns and rewards that don't glorify you. They glorify Christ forever and ever and ever. See, we're here to glorify Christ now, but we're here to glorify Christ forever and ever and ever. And for the winner believer who receives Hope 3, greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ, that's exactly what you do. You glorify Christ forever for all eternity. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.